America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Tops Friendly Markets. Score big savings and elevate your food game.
Makes the handoff, makes the throw, comes back. Wide open in the end zone is Mac Hollins for a 2-yard touchdown reception. Here's the snap. Back to pass, blitz coming. Wide open, Ray Davis. 45-50, 45-40. Still on his feet. He's going to go. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ray Davis. 63 yards. Fakes the handoff. Rolls to his right. Looking to pass. Now gets hit as he throws. And it's caught in the end zone by Quinton Morris. His first catch of the season. Goes for a touchdown. Snap by Ferguson. Hold by Martin. Kick by Bass is long enough. And it is good. Bombs away for Tyler Bass, who bombs it from 61. It's a career best for the Bills kicker. Unbelievable.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hectic in here, man. I'm adjusting the studio, grabbing my coffee, ready to rock and roll. 2 hours of your calls. It is a Buffalo football victory Monday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. And, of course, brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. The Buffalo Bills with a dramatic, stressful 30-27 victory over the Miami Dolphins yesterday at Highmark Stadium. Man, a lot to get to on this one, and we have a full 2 hours of your phone calls on the way, but you got to call up first. Right now, open phone lines. Call up. You're going to get in right now. 803-0550. 803-0550. You know the way this works. You call up. I give you the floor. The floor is yours. Make a contribution to the show. Be thoughtful. You have a question, a comment, a concern, a debate, whatever it is. I got you covered here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo football victory Monday. I mean, a lot of places we can start. I'll actually first start by telling you can also watch the show, of course. Watch it live on our Facebook page. It is facebook.com/WGR550. facebook.com/WGR550. I'm right there. You can say hi. You can see the Victory Monday shirt. You can debate, talk inside the comments. I can't respond to the comments because I'm doing the show for you. You can hit me up on X as well, or Twitter, if you want to call it that. At Sal Sports is where you can always find me. All right. We got a lot to get to today. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, a look ahead to the next game. All happens in the next hour. But first, let's talk about yesterday and the stress level of the Buffalo Bills' victory over the Miami Dolphins, not just at the end of the game, throughout the game. Another slow start for the Bills. They're down. They're down early, 10-3. They get a field goal to make it 10-6 on a really, you know, tough sequence of plays towards the end of the half to cut it to 4. Once again, only 6 points scored in the first half. for the Buffalo Bills. We've seen this too many times. They come out, slow starts. I don't know. You want to call it unprepared? I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think there's execution. Yes, for sure. Maybe the game plan is, hey, they're doing things to us we didn't expect. So game plan has to change a little bit. There's no doubt about that. One thing that's happened on some of these slow starts is, thankfully, the defense has kind of kept them in the game. Like in Tennessee, same thing happened. Slow start. But the defense kept the offense in the game long enough that the offense could catch up. And by the time the game is over, there you are looking at the scoreboard. It's another 30 points on the board for the Bills. 24 points in the second half. And of course, the field goal by Tyler Bass, which we will get to in a little while. But the start of the game, not what the Bills wanted. Drop pass by Keon Coleman turns into an interception. Penalty wipes off a touchdown off the board. Tyler Bass misses an extra point later in the game after they finally scored a little bit, a touchdown. So lots of kind of disjointed play. But maybe mostly, too, the way the Dolphins controlled the game. The Dolphins really controlled the game for a lot of it, especially in the first half. Much more even in the second half, but they still did a nice job. You know that both teams, I believe this is true, let me check this to make sure. Both teams only punted one time, and for both of them, it was in the first quarter. That was it. After the first quarter in this game, there were no punts by either side. The Bills actually punted. In fact, I will say this, the first drive of the game for both teams. The first drive of both teams resulted in a punt. It was a 3-and-out for the Bills, a 5-and-out for the Dolphins. After that, let me run through the endings of drives for the Dolphins. Field goal, touchdown, end of half. Fumble, field goal, touchdown, touchdown, game over. For the Bills, after their first drive, they punted. Field goal, interception, field goal, touchdown, 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 field goal. I mean, the Bills scored on their final five possessions of the game. And it really should have been six considering the interception off Keon Coleman. But either way, they scored in the final five possessions of the game, including four possessions. They only had the ball four times in the second half, three touchdowns and a field goal ultimately to win it. Listen, the slow starts happen and they shouldn't happen. And the Bills have had them happen too many times. They go to Seattle, they didn't have a slow start. You thought that was a bit corrected. A couple weeks before that against the Jets, didn't have a slow start. You thought it was corrected. It showed up again. But again, defense did enough in the first half and into the third quarter, especially with the turnover, to keep the game alive. And then the offense wakes up and then starts playing better in the second half. I wrote about a little bit of this at WGR550.com, my arrow up, arrow down column. You can find it there. There was an arrow down I gave that I'm not really, I might even take it away as an arrow down, which I'll get to in a little while. But if you go to my arrow up, arrow down column, I wrote a little bit about Josh Allen's second half himself. Just Josh Allen in the second half. Unfortunately, Josh throws the interception in the first half, which goes against his numbers, of course. But in the second half, Josh Allen, 13 of 20, that's 65%, 156 yards, and three touchdowns. Guy threw a buck 56 and three touchdowns. A lot of that's helped out by Ray Davis's long, you know, catch and run, but it all counts, as I always say. Tyler Bass, I mean, what a kick from 61 yards out. Lines up for a franchise record to ultimately win the game and just drills it. Probably would have been good from about 64 or 65. It was so high up over the crossbar. But the accuracy, it has been the accuracy that's been the issue for Tyler Bass through his struggles here. It has not been the leg strength. We know that. He has a lot of leg strength. He has since he's come into this league. It's been the accuracy. This one, straight down the middle. But he still missed the extra point earlier in the game. He also banked one off the crossbar on an extra point that went in earlier in the game. It is the consistency of Tyler Bass that's been missing. It's not the leg strength. You hope this particular kick can get him back on track to mentally be in a better spot to be even more consistent. He doesn't have to be. You'd love him to be perfect for the rest of the year. I don't expect that. But I do expect him to be a lot better than he has been. And maybe this kick catapults him to being able to be more consistent and reliable, because as much as this kick is a great, great kick for the Bills and their win, I still think you have to prove it over a few more consistent kicks from shorter distance. Not going to take anything away from him yesterday to end that game, though. Absolutely fantastic kick. There have been less than 30 kicks, field goals, in the history of the league, I believe, from that distance or longer. 61 or longer, I believe there's less than 30 ever all-time field goals that have been made from that distance. And this one essentially wins the game. It didn't completely win the game. It wasn't a walk-off. And that's important because the head coach here, Sean McDermott, had a choice to make. He either had to opt for the 61-yard field goal attempt or punt the ball. If they miss the field goal, the Dolphins get the ball at the Bills' 49-yard line with 5 seconds left. Now, you don't know exactly how long the field goal is going to take. It could take 4 seconds, which means the Dolphins get the ball at 6 seconds left. 5 or 6 seconds, especially six, you're risking the Dolphins throwing one play, calling timeout, and then they are in field goal range for Jason Sanders, who has a big leg, by the way. Sean McDermott, who many, many times over the years here, we've taken calls on conservative nature, errs on the side of caution, or on conservatism. I don't think that's necessarily even that true. He did in Philadelphia, no doubt, and he should have gone for it with 20 seconds left when the Bills got the ball late in the game last year in the rain. There's no doubt that's happened. Well, let's remember last year, sold out aggressively on the blitz against the Denver Broncos, and it hurt him. Sold out aggressively on the blitz against Philly in overtime, and that hurt him. So he has been aggressive in these situations, but on the offensive side, maybe not as much late in games. This time, he decided to be more aggressive, and it was the right call because Tyler Bass goes out there and drill. Of course, it's the right call. They made it. And look, I would say this. I think it was also the smart call, not just the right call, I should say. Because even if Tyler Bass misses, you figure, okay, they might get one play and then call timeout. But you're probably really only getting one play and a Hail Mary. And yes, I know the Bills have had Hail Marys go against them. I get it. But I think you take that chance. The risk versus reward here was much more upside of reward versus not a lot of risk. Yes, you'd have to defend a Hail Mary against a quarterback that doesn't have the strongest arm, let's be honest, if you miss it. But if you make it, you win the game. And I think that's what he was weighing. And I think that's exactly what happened here, where you know the coach deserves credit for being aggressive, having faith in his kicker. The kicker deserves a lot of credit for booting the kick. And the Bills get the field goal with 5 seconds left on the clock and then ultimately stop the final play in the laterals that happened. A lot to get to today. 803-0550, whatever's on your mind on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got a lot to get to, a lot to talk about. Injuries. I'm bracing for not great news on Keon Coleman after seeing him in the locker room after the game with a brace on his left arm wrist area. Unfortunately, this is the year of the wrist injury for the Buffalo Bills. Dewan Smoot, wrist injury during the game, leaves to go get x-rays, does not return. That is not encouraging. Christian Benford misses the game with a wrist injury. Amari Cooper misses the game with a wrist injury. For some reason, wrist injuries. I don't know. I mean, the people will tell me, training staff, this and that. We had this discussion last week. Training staff can't prevent Keon Coleman falling on his wrist if that's what happened, or getting hit by Jordan Poyer on his arm in that area if that's what happened. But we will get an injury report a little bit later today. That will be our Barnes Firm injury report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Dewan Smoot and Keon Coleman are the two big injuries in this game that we're monitoring. And of course, Christian Benford and Amari Cooper missing the game with their injuries. Those are a couple injuries we're monitoring throughout the week. Sean McDermott will speak to the local media at 4 p.m. today. 803-0550. All right, let's start it off with Jeff in Orchard Park. Hi, Jeff. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, great kick. Bass-o-matic. That's what we need right there. I had two questions for you. Question one, you went over the defensive line. Are we going to pick up somebody in free agency? Because we're facing Jonathan Taylor. Remember him 5 years ago? He smoked us at home.
Well, do you mean trading? Because free agency, I mean, they have the guys on the practice squad. They don't need to do a free agent. Do you mean the trade deadline? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, trade deadline. Excuse me.
I think they could use another guy for sure. I wouldn't think it's about Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor, if you actually follow Jeff and listen to Colts fans, they're not even giving him the ball that much for some reason. I agree with you. He's a fantastic running back. But I just think that overall, the Bills have had trouble stopping the run. They are facing some really good running backs. Christian McCaffrey could be back when they play him couple of weeks. The Chiefs are really running the ball well. I don't know, but I would tell you with the injury to Dwan Smoot, Dwayne Carter already on IR. That's another one with the wrist injury on IR. I wouldn't doubt that maybe they'd be hunting for maybe some more, you know, assets on the defensive line and depth to help out.
Got one more question.
Yeah.
How come Taylor Rapp got the penalty when Mostert lowered his head right into him? That didn't make sense.
It's a great question, Jeff. I wish I had that great answer for you. Thanks a lot, buddy. I appreciate it. Hey, I agree with everybody. Apparently, there's something floating around about, you know, the explanation on it, or someone wrote something about it. I don't know if it came from the officials themselves, how Taylor Rapp stuck his, I guess you'd say, like, I'm doing this on video. If you're just listening on the radio and you're not watching on the stream, you wouldn't know. But sticking his face out with his chest and not rapping with his arms, I'm like, what? Like, he's running towards the play. Mostert lowered his head. The rule says that even the offensive player can be called for that. He's the one that lowered. He's the one that targeted. I thought it was going to be called against him. It wasn't. I don't think it was a good day for the officials, by the way. Sean in Tonawanda. Hi, Sean.
Shell, what a pleasure. I think it's the first time we've ever spoken.
Well, Sean, I appreciate you calling me. Thank you.
Well, you know, you have your arrows up and arrows down. You are always arrow up and never arrows down.
Well, I have my days, I promise you, Sean, but thank you.
Well, it's much appreciated by all of us. Another thing, your entire crew are nailing it. I mean, obviously, Van was amazing. Murph, obviously amazing. Brownie is nailing it. I mean, bombs away.
Yeah, you know. That's a great call. You know, that's a call that's going to live on a lot of highlight shows for a long time.
Yes, sir.
Right? And you know, Chris should be proud of that because he nailed the call. I agree. And Eric does a great job. But yeah, thank you for that. I hope they're listening. If not, I'll make sure I pass that along. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Much appreciated. The main point I wanted to bring up was, you know, you and us are similar in age. I think I have a couple years on you, but the Dolphins rivalry goes way back to the 70s. We all know about the history. You know, we didn't win a game in the entire 70s. But now the record is creeping back to 500, despite the fact that they won every game in the 70s. And pretty soon we're going to have a winning record against this team. And the rivalry has been there, and it will continue.
That's a great point. You know, I think that in order to be a rivalry, you have to have both sides kind of win a lot. But you know how frustrated they must be right now. The Bills have won 13 of the last 14 against the Miami Dolphins, right? And obviously, yeah. Bills fans look at them as kind of no threat. But that was a fight they put up yesterday, Sean. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the kind words, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, Sal.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that was a fight. Listen, I mean, I have to be honest. I thought when I got home, and I started reading through my social media mentions because I'm doing my work and actually went out to dinner last night with some friends in town. So I kind of got to it a little bit late last night. Some of the ones I read, I thought, man, some people are spoiled. Like, what do you expect? You just expect to walk out there and because they didn't beat the Dolphins by 30, it's some massive failing by the coaches or the players or whatever. Like, what are we doing here? Holy cow. It's the Miami Dolphins. It's an AFC East game. They played a good game. They had a good game plan. Their backs are against the wall. Like the Bills were not perfect yesterday. They had a slow start, but they did a lot of nice things. They won the game. What are we doing? Don't be spoiled. And not all of you. I know a lot of you are taking it today going, yeah, we'll take it. That's the Dolphins. You're 7-2, 3-0 in the division. I mean, that's, holy cow, 7-2 with a 4-game lead in the division, 4.5 if you count the wins over the teams you beat head-to-head at this point in the year. Take it. Run with it. Be happy about it. Yeah, I saw a little bit of that yesterday. But, man, the Dolphins, the point I'm making here is give them credit. They played a good game. They had a good game plan. The Bills actually, they wanted to stop, like, making, they wanted to make sure the Dolphins didn't beat them over the top with all that speed. But because of that, that allowed the Dolphins to go underneath, throw to the running backs. They gave up big plays. They gave up too many yards on the ground. That's happened this year. There's no doubt. It wasn't a perfect game. It's not going to be. I mean, the other team, they get paid too. They have professional coaches. They have professional players. They're going to have a game plan. And their backs were against the wall, and they're trying to salvage their season. You know, it could have been easy for the Bills too to say, all right, you know, we got this lead. We got some guys injured leading the division. Like, okay, you know, we kind of not wave the white flag, but just kind of have a letdown. And maybe they did in the very beginning of the game, but that wasn't true for the overall game overall. And by the end of the game. So, yeah, don't take things for granted, man. Don't be spoiled, for sure. And I saw some of that yesterday. Let's go to Aislinn. I think it's Aislinn. Is that how you say your name?
Yes.
Hi, Aislinn. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. Go ahead. What do you got?
So my question is, do you think the Colts game is a trap game? And is it possible for the Bills to win the Super Bowl?
Well, let me take these questions one by one, Aislinn. Great questions. Thank you. I don't believe in trap games when you have consistency in your program. And I think the Bills have consistency in their program. They treat every week like a week that, you know, this next one matters. You stay focused and you have your process. I don't want to say trust the process, but that is what that comes from. Trust the process. Every day you attack, you know, the day and the week. Sean McDermott said something very interesting after this game in the post-game press conference. He said there were a lot of distractions last week with all the injuries that were popping up and what was going on with some of the guys, were they going to play or not. He said they have to get refocused. So I would not say the Colts game is a trap game. Sometimes it's even better for a team to go on the road when they kind of have a big win and you know you have to get a little bit refocused to go out. Can they win the Super Bowl? Absolutely they can. I mean, there's a group of teams. The Bills are in them. There's probably 6-7 teams that I would tell you right now could absolutely win the Super Bowl. And every week, there's some teams that jump into that conversation, some teams that fall out of that conversation. It's been pretty consistent, I think, this year with the top teams in the AFC. That's been obviously the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills. I mean, even though the Steelers are there with their record, I think the Texans are still a good team. I think those are really the four teams. Maybe the Bengals can get a win over the Ravens on Thursday, and they'll be a part of it. So, Aislinn, thanks for the call, and I hope I answered your questions.
You're welcome.
All right, you got it. Thank you very much. Walter in Toronto. What's going on, Walter?
Hey, how's it going, Sal?
Good, thank you.
A couple of comments, and then I'm going to ask a question that you may not like. But anyways, I think the thing with Bass is that he yesterday he proved that he can do it in clutch situations. That's the last few years he hasn't really – you know, stepped up in clutch situations, and that's why yesterday was so important. Secondly, I think other than the Heat Bowl in Miami a couple of years ago, I think that's the best the Dolphins have played the Bills in the Josh Allen era, right? I mean, Allen's owned the team, and other than that Heat Bowl, when has the Miami ever done anything? Yesterday, you know what? Came down to 5 seconds in a last play just about. Miami, you know, kudos. They're a good team. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs. And finally, Sal, I got to tell you, I don't remember Poyer being that kind of player. I know he's a hard hitter, but that was a dirty hit. And I just feel...
Well, it's only dirty if you think he did it intentionally.
I think he did. I think he
no,
did.
No, I don't think so at all.
It was a bill. It was a bill.
No, Walter, stop. That's not... He actually defended... He thought it was a clean hit at the end of the game. He's not intentionally trying to hit him in the head. What he is being reckless, though. That's what he's being. He's not... To me, he's not intentionally trying to hurt anybody or hit him in the head. We've seen that before here. Just because it's a bill, that's not true. These are guys that... I know Keon he never played with.
Maybe I shouldn't generalize, but, you know, whenever... you know, the whole revenge game, like in hockey... A player goes back to his old barn, right?
Well,
and it's no holds bar. Whatever the player's strengths is, if it's scoring, if it's fighting, that player will
sure.
Do
but
that.
But Walter, that's different for sure. And I do think there's some of that. And I said that after the game, which is he's trying to make a play because he's trying to prove a point. But he's not trying to hurt anybody. He's not trying to intentionally hit his head.
Well, what did you mean when you said prove a point?
Like that he can make a play on the ball and end this game with a big play. Like, I'm here. Why did you get rid of me? Like, I'm going to go all out to make the best play I can. That doesn't mean he's trying to hit him in the head.
Right. So, in a way, you agree with me not...
No,
so
no, I don't agree with you. I don't think... Dirty...
Mindset.
No, Walter, I don't agree with you. Dirty means he did something intentionally dirty.
No, but he had in his head... forget about that, but he had in his head, I'm going back to Buffalo. You know what? I'm going to have a good game.
Sure.
I'm gonna show everybody.
What's wrong with that? He should.
Okay.
He should.
I love hearing you. I only can get you out of the car now because I'm in Canada, and you know we don't want to get into the old Odyssey app. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, I got you, buddy. Hey, but you know what? You know what? You don't have to go in the car on Mondays. You can just watch the Facebook.
You know what? It's exactly what I'm going to do once I hang up. All the best.
Yeah, you got it. Sorry, I'm not agreeing with that at all. Jordan Poyer, he was reckless on that play. He's not intentionally trying to hit Keon Coleman in the head. That's dirty when you do that, right? Oh my God, what a dirty play, dirty hit. Like, he's a little reckless because he's trying to make a play so bad that he did not think about maybe where the head is, where he is. But, and if you want to call that dirty, that's fine. I'm not going to call it that way. That's the way I would say it. So maybe it's just semantics. Steve in Virginia. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Sal. How you doing today?
I'm good, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, with Jordan Poyer, I just think that he's lost a little bit of speed, so now he has to, like, do other things to compensate for it, like dive at a player. And sure. I don't think he, you know, meant to, you know, hurt, injure anybody, but it's just, unfortunately, with age, you get a little slower and lose a little bit of your skills. So you just, you know, wanted to make
I think it's a great point, Steve. There's no doubt. And I think, you know, we saw him in game one down in Miami and here in Buffalo that has happened. There was a play there where he took a bad angle. He got beat. There's a play here where he's a little bit late to the play, hits him in the head. So I agree that definitely can be the case.
Yeah. This one, give a couple props out to Mac Hollins. I've been down on him all year and started calling him Roberto Duran, hands of stone, but he caught everything yesterday, so I'd love to see some more consistency. So great game for him. The use of Ray Davis. He's been looking awesome. Initially, you know, James Cook was getting stuffed. I'm glad they went to Ray, and he played great, and I also helped, you know, James Cook as well. But I do have a question about Ed Oliver.
Yep.
He doesn't seem to be having the dominant year that he was last year. Is there anything going on with him, or is it something with the D-line or coaching? Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
You know, I think teams are using Ed Oliver's strengths against him. He's a penetrator. And what you're seeing is teams trapping him. That's what happened against Baltimore in the big run that they had first part of the game. And the other thing, when you say dominant, you know, Steve, what one thing we've seen a lot of this year, and this happened yesterday, teams are just getting rid of the ball quickly against the Bills. They're getting rid of the ball quickly, out of their hands. Time to throw is short. And for Ed Oliver's not a run stuffer. His game is penetration up the middle. And for him to be effective, you know, if you're going to get rid of the ball that quickly, that's going to neutralize a little bit of that. I think that's probably some of the explanation, I would say. I agree with you. He hasn't made as big of an impact. I'd like to see more. But I think there's some of those circumstances of the reason why.
Okay, appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Mike in Amherst. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hi, Sal. Is our connection okay?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. So I just want to make a couple quick points and ask you a question. So, you know, I think the Dolphins in the first half, they looked like a team who was playing for their season, yep. And I think they played great. And, you know, to touch on what you said earlier, you look at, like, the Browns beat the Ravens the other week, who look unstoppable, right? Sometimes the Raiders beat the Chiefs. So, you know, as us fans being spoiled in the Josh Allen era, I certainly appreciate a division win, no matter how it comes. I thought for sure Mike McDaniel was going to go for two. When they scored,
yeah.
You know, you're a two-win team on the road. I actually was ecstatic that he didn't go for two, to be honest. And you look at the Patriots game, they scored a touchdown to tie the game late. They should have went for two. They're a two-win team on the road. Same with the Dolphins. I don't understand why these coaches, when they have an opportunity to win a game, it's like they think they got to do things by the book and just hit the extra point. My question to you is, with the extra point being kind of a shaky thing this year, let's say it's the divisional round, AFC championship game, the Bills find themselves down by seven, they go down the field, they score with 10 or 20 or 30 seconds left. My friends and I have been having this conversation. We think with Bass being kind of shaky, don't you think the Bills should go for two and try to win the game on the two-yard line with the ball in Josh Allen's hands? I mean, what do you think?
Wow, that's a tough call. I don't mean to be the cop-out here, but I think that would depend. I think Sean McDermott's decision, and what I will tell you from my own opinion, would be, tell me how that game is playing out. Is it nobody can stop anybody, 35-31 or whatever, and, you know, 31-30? Is it a 17-16 game after the touchdown and yards are hard to come by? I think, you know, you have to go into how good the other team is in short yardage on defense. And, you know, where are you playing? Are you on the road, at home, weather? Like, I think all of that actually matters, Mike. I don't think it's just black and white and blank. Like, just like, I don't think it's as clear cut. Oh, yeah, they would do that. I think every situation matters differently. I would tell you, though, I agree with you that I think Mike McDaniel should have gone for two. He's on the road in a division game. The Bills could not stop. They were giving up 4.9 yards a carry, 4.8 yards a carry on the ground. I think the Dolphins, because they were doing the misdirection was working, they really had the Bills on their heels, but you're running, passing, the short passes. I thought the Dolphins should have gone for two. And what I wonder is, would they have gone for two if there was only, let's say, 30 seconds left instead of a minute and something, right? Maybe that mattered. I'm not sure. So to answer your question, I don't know what I would do unless I know how the game is playing out in that particular circumstance, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess my question or my point is, and you answered, I appreciate your answer in time. Bottom line, you're on the 2-yard line,
yeah,
with a chance to win the game. Just go for the
win. And you know what? I think you're right. I mean, as I sit here now, you give me it's a dome environment, no weather. What's going to happen? Give me Josh Allen, and I'll take my chances.
Right. Thank you.
You got it. Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. That's a tough one, but it's interesting. What a good call. That's a good call. I think Mike McDaniel should have gone for two, and he didn't. Maybe he misses, but you're on the road. Your season's on the line. You have the Bills kind of on their heels with what you're doing offensively. I thought Mike McDaniel should have gone for two. I did not realize he said the Patriots scored. Oh, the Patriots had a walk-off. Okay, not in walk-off, but the Patriots scored a touchdown on the final play of the game. I did not know this till just now. Thank you. And then they kicked the field goal, and they went to overtime. Yeah, dude, go for two right there. You're on the road. You're not winning games anyway. All right, we'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Great start to the show. Lots of calls still to come. 803-0550. If you're on the line, hang on the line. And if you want to get in, you can get in right now. We have open phone lines. 803-0550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. By the way, breaking news in the NFL. Dennis Allen fired, head coach, New Orleans Saints. He has been fired by the Saints. We'll get back to Bills Dolphins after this.
Bobbled by Tua, and the pass rushes.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
He's there in a hurry. Greg Rousseau wrapped him up immediately. Tua barely had the football, and Rousseau was all over him. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Blitz coming. Wide open, Ray Davis. 45-50. 45-40. Still on his feet. He's going to go. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ray Davis. 63 yards.
Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Thanks a lot for joining me on the stream. Facebook.com/WGR550. Bills 30-27 over the Miami Dolphins yesterday. You know, so I think I want to even change. I gave an arrow down, my arrow up, arrow down to Sean McDermott for the challenge. And it was late in the game, right? So Tua dives. He challenges the spot. And he loses the challenge. And I've had people tell me like how terrible of a challenge it was. And I said, arrow down, shouldn't have challenged. It cost you a timeout. You need that timeout. The more I look at it, the more I think about it, though, McDermott was using his timeouts anyway because he's trying to get the ball back. So if he wins the challenge, the game is over. They're getting the ball. If he loses, he's just stopping the clock like he would anyway. But maybe the bigger picture here is the rule and knowing the rule and where it is. And I've been trying to check in on this with different people and officials. And what I've gotten is it is not in this situation where the player starts his dive. It has to make, this is what I got from Football Zebras. It's a really good account, by the way. I'm going to give them a shout out. Football Zebras on Twitter. Footballzebras.com is their website. and I've been messaging with Football Zebras. We've had them on the show before. They're dedicated to, you know, sorting out different rules, and they have really good sight that you can see a lot of this stuff. Here's what I got from them. I said, so it's not where he starts to dive? Answer is no. Has to make contact with another body part. When it's a slide, feet first, it's usually around the time the slide starts because contact with the ground happens sooner than a dive. So from that, the ball was spotted correctly. And it probably was not a good challenge from a where the ball was spotted. You should know that for Sean McDermott, no doubt. I would also tell you, though, thinking about it, he was going to use the timeouts anyway because he's trying to conserve, though, conserve time for when he gets the ball back for his team. And if you do win the challenge, you win the game. It's a risk reward, and I think he felt the risk was good. The was good because the reward was the winning the game. I also had somebody tweet me last night about clock management. I thought clock management was good in this game. Like clock management in this game, the timeouts they used were very, very smart and valuable when the Dolphins had the ball. If the Bills don't use their timeouts, the Dolphins might score with like 30 seconds left instead of a minute or whatever it was that they scored. What did they score? What was the final? Let me get the time here. Dolphins scored with 1:38 left on the clock. If the Bills don't use those two timeouts after the challenge even, they're scoring maybe a walk-off, and then they are maybe going for two to win the game. Nothing you could do about it. So I thought clock management was good in this game, actually. So I don't know. I think if you look at stuff like that and you had a nitpick, then you're looking for stuff to nitpick, to be quite honest with you. Let's go to Frank in Williamsville. Hi, Frank. You're on WGR.
So I got a few things I want to get to bat, but real quick on the timeouts. I think I would never have the quarterback call a timeout in the first half. Or even in the first third quarter when it's not like a delay of game thing, right?
Would you rather take a delay of game? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, give me the yards. It's 5 yards, whatever. That's a big difference, especially with Josh.
It's a good debate. I got it.
Secondly, the other thing I want to mention about asking this before, I guess the pass thing. The Bills give up a lot of runs, chunks on the runs. I'm thinking sometimes it's because they're the emphasis on punching the ball out. And I think they're more thinking about punching the ball than they're getting the guy down, and they run alongside him for 5 or 6 yards until he finally falls down.
I wouldn't go that far, Frank. I mean, okay. Yeah, I mean, sometimes – I wouldn't go that far. They want to make tackles, but sure, I think you see it around the league that if you have an opportunity to punch the ball out, I think sometimes guys do elect to do that than make the tackle. But I don't think it's like a conscious effort. Like, I'd rather do that than but sure, I think in certain situations, you do see that sometimes, and I would agree. So, I'd say I shouldn't go that far. I think it does happen sometimes. I don't think it's like it's like some overarching philosophy, I guess is what I'd say, that you'd rather do that than take the ball carrier down. But yeah. I do sometimes agree with you that maybe a guy went for the ball when he should have gone for the tackle. You know what I mean?
Okay. So, see, last thing on bass, okay?
Yeah.
I called earlier, before the season started, saying they got to get another kicker. If you look around the league, the competition they're in against, right? The Baltimore, KC, Houston, Philadelphia, Kansas City, Vegas, they all have better kickers than the Bills do. And they, well, how important is the field goal kicker? When KC had the long kick to beat the Bills in the playoffs, we knew that kick was going in. We don't know what's going in. He's not good on the short kicks. And I just think they can say as much as they want. He's a great guy. I'm sure he's the greatest guy in the locker room, right? Everyone loves the guy, right? But you got to pick the guy who's going to make the most kicks. I know they said they had a guy in last week. So who was he? What was there? One guy?
Well, No. They tried out several, but okay. You're not going to sign five kickers.
I understand that, but I think that
here's the question, Frank, for you.
Go ahead.
Hold on. You okay? You got to slow down for a second, okay? Here's the question. All right, it's okay. Where are you finding that better kicker? Because if he's not on one of the 32 teams, it generally means he's not good enough to play in the league.
Well, it seems like a lot of these kickers, they come in off the street.
Let me ask you this, Frank. If Lucas Havrasek went out on the field yesterday for that 61-yarder, are you more confident than Tyler Bass doing it?
I don't know who he is. I say no.
He's the guy that they signed last week.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just told me that that's what they should do.
That's why you're on the end of the line, Sal. That's why you're in the end of the line.
No, it's okay. No. Do you understand my point? I agree with you. He has to get more consistent. He has to get more consistent, Frank. My issue is, and I've said this for weeks,
right.
Yes, he has to, but I don't know if there's a better alternative that you're just going to come up with out of thin air.
Let me ask you the status quo. Let me ask you this question. The places, what percentage of people thought he was going to miss that kick?
A lot.
What makes a good call? Is it the result of the call, or what?
That was a smart call, because even if he misses, there's only 5 seconds left, so that's fine. Right. That's a smart call, Frank. So yeah, listen. By the way, Justin Tucker's struggling too. That kicker you just mentioned for the Ravens, he's been struggling this year.
Yeah, I heard about
that. So I got you, buddy. Thanks. I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. I got to run. I got Tom next up in North Tonawanda. What's up, Tom?
Sal, you know, today is a happy day for people like you and I, because it's victory after, not only is it victory Monday, but it's victory over Miami Monday, and is there anything better, you know?
I mean, you know, again, I like I said earlier today, maybe it seems to me some fans, it seems, are a little spoiled, Dom. I'm reading yet last night people coming at me on how they did this wrong and that wrong, and they're winning despite their head coach. I'm like, holy cow, they're 7-2, 3-0 in the division, and just beat the Miami Dolphins for the 13th out of 14th time. Can you be happy, please?
Yeah, and they're on track to have this division locked up in early December. So, I mean, you know, let's just be happy for today. If you want to nitpick on stuff, do it tomorrow.
And by the way, you can always nitpick. It's sports. I mean, you can't just expect 40-0 victories every time you roll out of bed.
Absolutely. So what I want to do, and, you know, you gave some people some credit early for your point. I'm going to give my credit for this, because I've been talking with some people. I've got a little Expected Buffalo Discord chat going on, and people came in from Patrick and Anthony and Pat and Brian. And, you know, we're talking about Kyrie Elam. And I thought, you know what, this is a guy who hasn't played. He's on the line. He came in yesterday, and I think we all thought, okay, Benford's questionable, but he's going to start, and he didn't. And Elam, you know what, he had a tackle for a loss, a fumble recovery. He got beat once by Tyreek Hill, and he's hardly – and he almost got back in time to break that play up anyway.
Yeah.
And he's hardly the only corner to ever get beat by Tyreek Hill. If you only do that once coming in as a reserve corner, you know what? You had a pretty good day, and I just think he, you know, obviously, look, we all love what Bass did and some of the plays the offense made in the second half, but, you know, he was just a steady presence out there, and you really didn't notice him. And if you're the number three corner starting, what more do you want? And he made a big play recovering that fumble. So let's give him some credit, and that's why he's still on the team, and you've talked about it before, that, you know, you need depth at a position like that. You just can't unload him now and trade him and pick up whatever, a fourth or fifth round pick 2 years down the road. It's not going to do you any good. He will, and he did yesterday, so I hope people back off on that.
Yeah, and listen, he's not the player they were. They thought he would be when they drafted him. I think we all can recognize that. That was not it's not turning out to be a good draft pick, right? But he's still on the roster, and he's still got to perform when called upon, and you still have to develop him and put him in the game in these situations. And I agree with you. I mean, he made a couple nice plays yesterday. Unfortunately, got beat on that double move. By the way, really nice catch by Tyreek. It was right in front of me. That was a heck of a catch, by the way.
Yeah, it was. It was. And getting beat by Tyreek's not, you know, you'd like not to see it, but it's not the worst thing in the world to happen to a corner.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate it. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good calls. I love it. Got some things that didn't go well yesterday you want to talk about. Got some things that went well yesterday you want to talk about. Got comments, questions, debates. It's all right here on the table for you. 803-0550. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll do it again after this message here on WGR.
Pitch play to the right to Mostert, looking for an opening, and now hits the hole, and he's through it. And it's another 9 yards. Fumble on the play, though, and it's picked up by Buffalo at the 36-yard line. It's Buffalo football.
Let's go to Bob. Bob in Rochester. Hi, Bob. You're on WGR.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Sal. I don't know. Did you get a chance to see the Lions-Packers game yesterday?
I did not.
Okay. Well, Brian Branch of the Lions, who's probably the best defensive player on the team,
yep,
put a hit on a Packers receiver that was almost a carbon copy of Poyer's hit. He lowered his helmet, hit the receiver in the face mask, and there was a 15-yard penalty. And then he got ejected.
Okay.
The announcers couldn't believe it. If you go back and look,
I'm looking at it right now. I mean, he lowered his head. He went. I mean, yeah. You know what? Yeah. I just think that these subjective calls for these ejections and what the intent is. I mean, I think this is more egregious than Poyer. I will say that. Okay, but I mean,
I thought Poyer's was.
I think this one is more egregious because I think he lowers his head before he gets there. I think Poyer also, because of where Coleman was, this guy is more on the ground, and then he lowers. It's tough, though. Maybe he might be trying to hit with his shoulder, so maybe it is. Maybe Poyer's is. But either way, I mean, it's tough, man. You never want to see it, but I do think it's tough on the officials to make these calls, too, and it's tough on the players.
In the league, and that came from the league. Tom Brady was—he couldn't believe that the guy was being ejected.
Right.
And then they said later it came in from the league.
Yeah, you don't normally see
eject him.
You don't normally see the ejection.
And the thing
there.
Is it because he was playing a 425 national game of the week, and they just happened to see it?
I mean, they're watching.
It's so arbitrary. It's so arbitrary.
They're watching everything. I mean, thanks, Bob. Yeah, it is right. I agree with you. And it is. It's tough to see. So, yeah, we'll see. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. I did not see that at all. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. Hour number two on the way on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get to sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, a look ahead to the next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Next game, and of course, more of your phone calls. Stay on the line if you're there. We have open phone lines. If you're not and you want to jump in here on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday.
I got him right here, guys. Tyler Bass, a 61-yard field goal to end this game, essentially. Walk me through what's going through your mind and the kick as it's off your foot.
Man, it's been something that we've been working since training camp. I knew when we got there, just everything I've been through, I knew I was prepared and I trusted it. Great snap by Reed, great hold by Sam, and just thank Josh for getting us in range.
Tyler, you've been very upfront about what you've gone through this year, going back to last year and your struggles. For you to have the faith and the confidence to step up in that moment, what's that like for you?
Man, it just hard work pays off, man. My old coach, Doc, used to tell me, you're only as good as your next kick. So it doesn't matter what I do before that, I'm only as good as my next kick, so I'll put my best foot forward.
And then look over here at Bills Mafia. Everybody giving you all those cheers over there. What's that feel like for you, Tyler?
It's special, man. You know, we play here for our teammates, but we also play here for Bills Mafia, man. They're the best in the world, and so grateful.
One heck of a kick. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you.
All right, that is Tyler Bass after the game. I don't get to hear those interviews. Thank you for playing that. That was pretty cool. Last year, the interview I did on the field after the game with Sean McDermott after they won the division kind of went viral because it was really cool and he was super emotional and I got to hear it and I'm like, yeah, that was cool because I'm in the moment. I'm doing the interview. So thanks for playing that, Josh, because the natural sound of the fireworks in the background and the Bills fans chanting AAA, right? That's pretty cool right there. So thank you very much. Tyler Bass after the game, 61-yard field goal. Josh Schmidt producing, by the way, here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday. It is brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Buffalo Football Monday, as always, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And it rolls on later on after this show. We'll have One Bills Live. Shopin' the Bulldog, of course. A lot going on today, including your phone calls. Let's get back after it. We'll get the sit-up, stand-down, hey, buddy, and everything else a little bit later. But first, Tony in West Seneca starts us off this hour. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Sal. I'm a first-time caller. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I've got one comment and one question.
Yep.
The first comment is about the spoiled fans. Oh, my God, don't they remember the Shula era? And what about the bad kickers we've had, like Nick Mickemeyer? My dad used to call him Missemeyer.
That's pretty funny.
Good God in heaven. The question is about the refereeing. You touched on it briefly. The two calls that we got for holding on Osiris and on Dion, my son and I watched it. We replayed them both in slow-mo. I didn't see any holding at all. I saw Miami holding all day long. Are they ever going to do anything about the bad refereeing? That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I'll just take it from what I saw or didn't saw. I mean, I didn't see anything blatantly obvious on the field, and then I see the penalty, but that happens a lot because I'm watching the play unfold. But I will tell you that I have not gone back and watched the game broadcast yet. Eric Wood shares your sentiment, Tony. Eric Wood was beside himself saying, how are these penalties? These are not penalties. Both of them. Deion Dawkins with one, Osiris Torrance with one. He said neither one of them should have been penalties. In the meantime, I see very questionable, possible penalties on Ed Oliver about three or four times during the game grabbing him. And I'm not telling you they should have been called even. But if you're, I think you just have to be more consistent. When you say, are they ever going to do anything about the officiating? I don't know what you can do. I mean, you just got to hope they're better, right? I mean, yes, they get graded. Officials get penalized. They get rewarded depending on what games and assignments, all those kinds of things. So really interesting. Thanks. Appreciate the call, Tony. It was not a really terrifically officiated game yesterday. We've said that too many times over this year for sure. Rob in Tonawanda. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
You got it. I'm good. Thank you.
So yesterday, when Miami came onto the field for pregame warmups, I sit in section 138, and about the 10-yard line, Tyreek Hill turned in Brian Cox and started flipping off the entire Bills Mafia for no reason.
Okay. I didn't see that. This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, it was pregame warmups. So we're on the Bills sideline. Opposite side of the tunnel, and he came in and just started flipping everybody off, being real rude, and he was mouthing something, but I couldn't hear him from where I was sitting. But he's the new Brian Cox of the Miami Dolphins, in my opinion.
All right, Rob. Well, you know what? They've had some players over the years, for sure, that Bills fans love to hate, and vice versa, right? We'll see what happens with Tyreek Hill. There's been some rumblings that maybe he could be shopped and traded. I don't think he will be, but you never know. Tomorrow at 4 p.m. is the trade deadline. He's got some money left in his deal next year. The Dolphins could get out of that now by trading him. There's people who believe, hey, could the Kansas City Chiefs do that? I don't think so. Very unlikely to me that Kansas City would trade for Tyreek Hill and trade back for him. But I wouldn't completely shock me. I don't think they'll trade him. Calais Campbell could be on the move. That's a guy the Bills could be looking at, right? They might need another defensive lineman. He's 30. What is Calais Campbell? 38 now? Just have to go back and look. What Calais Campbell? Is he 38? Hold on. Hold on one second here. 38 years old. Wow, it's crazy. And he's having a good year. I mean, but the question about that is if the Bills are interested in there, what's the division tax on a trade, right? Does that make it worthwhile? But interesting trade deadline coming up here at 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Mike in Orchard Park. Hi, Mike. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
You got it. I'm good.
Hey, I appreciate you giving me a voice on your platform. Just talking about the game yesterday, you know, there were some plays taken off the board, some touchdowns, and, you know, the game was a little closer than I like. But what I really want to talk about, I wasn't sitting in section 203 because I was almost directly right behind the field goal post. And when Tyler Bass kicked that field goal, I was just amazed. Like, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, and it was like one of my best experiences in the stadium with fans. You know, like, this team has faced a lot of adversity this year. And for Tyler to come back and make that kick, you know, I just love it. I just love that, you know, Sean's not perfect, but I just love the program he's built here. And, you know, like every year we got Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, you know, we have a way, you know, to the Super Bowl, man. So not trying to get too high up, but long season still. But, you know, I feel very confident where the team stands right now, and hopefully we can make a run.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. By the way, Mike, I'll say one of the cool things I like is watching videos from the fans in the stands when things like that happen. I've been doing that this morning. Pretty cool, man. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it. I've been doing that this morning, watching some of the videos from the fans in the stands after the kick. Pretty cool. Let's go to Frank in Long Island. Hi, Frank. You're on WGR.
Sal, just want to let you know before I get to my point. That when I think of the Bills' experience as a fan, and I know other fans do, you're as big a part of that as Josh Allen or Sean McDermott or anybody on the field. Thank you so much for all you do for us. I guess what I'm looking for clarity on is, if we rewind to Thursday Night Football, the Garrett Wilson one-handed amazing catch, shin in, knee out, mm-hmm. and then we fast forward to the challenge.
Okay.
Tua trying to dive for that, his shin clearly down. Where is the difference?
Well, I think his shin is down after he made the line to gain. The question is...
Okay, so they weren't calling the knee down?
No. Here's what I believe. I believe Sean McDermott was challenging that he started his dive sooner, or maybe that he was down before the line to gain. But from what I'm gathering here, the rule is when you dive forward, it's not where the dive starts, it's where the first body part touches as you're diving forward. And the first body part touched, and the screenshots I'm getting are he was right at the line to gain. Very tough to overturn.
Understood completely. Thank you, Sal.
Yeah, you got it. And I've been trying to look into this, Frank, today, okay? I just want you to know, because it is a good question, because they changed the rule a few years ago about where you spot it when a guy slides and dives and it's the start and it's all that kind of stuff. So I think that's what the thought. And to me, and also, Frank, as I said earlier today, I think McDermott in that moment saying, look, if I challenge and I'm right, we win the game. If I challenge and I'm wrong, I'm using a timeout, which I'm already going to use a timeout anyway. We know that because he started using his timeouts there.
Yeah, I thought it was a great challenge. I would have challenged it too. No problem with that. And obviously with Perry upstairs, he saw something.
Yeah.
I just, you know, me and you talked about it a couple weeks ago with the Jets coach Ulbidge throwing the challenge flag and us having a little weird discussion about that.
Yes.
I still think the John Perry hire is a great hire. I just think some of these rules are just, they're ebbing and flowing week to week a little bit.
And listen, I mean, I will say this about John Perry and the hire, and I agree, it's a very good hire. He also can say to Sean McDermott, and I don't know what the conversation is going on during the game, but I imagine it's something like, Sean, this is really close. Like, you might be able to win this, right? He's not going to know exactly how it's going to turn out, right? I mean, he can only also have his best educated guess.
100%.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Frank. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Rob in Chicago. That opens up phone lines, by the way. We got plenty of phone lines open right now. We'll get to what happened in the NFL yesterday as well as we go forward on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So call up at 803-0550. Rob is up next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Sal. Great to talk to you this morning. Appreciate taking the call. Also, good to see you at training camp this summer's first time there, and I really appreciate taking the time just to say hi. It's good seeing you.
You got it.
My question for you is wondering if you noticed in the game yesterday anything with Josh's throwing motion. It seemed like he took a went down, maybe got his ankle rolled up, and then at some point it felt like he was short throwing, like getting a lot of, you know, he had the targets he had to Kincaid, stuff going at people's ankles. I was wondering if you just felt like his throwing motion was normal yesterday, or if there was something off, because I felt like he had a lot more underthrows than I would normally see from Josh, and I know you've probably seen more of it. And
yeah, I was a little concerned about that too. I didn't know what was happening there. It did seem like that to me, and I don't know if the ankle bothered him enough where he couldn't like keep that strength up on his, you know, as he was throwing. I'm not really sure if that had anything to do with it, Rob. He did have a couple of those underthrows a little bit late in the game. It was a little bit after that. So, yeah, I'm not sure. But, look, it also could just be him trying a little bit too hard and too much and too quickly, because they were blitzing the heck out of Josh Allen yesterday. And I think the Bills struggled with some of the blitz concepts that the Dolphins came up with. And I think Josh had to kind of get rid of the ball a little quicker than he wanted to a few times.
Yeah, I appreciate that feedback, Sal. Keep up the great work. Love what you do out there.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. I noticed it too, and I wondered for sure. But I also wonder if Josh also, like, they were heating him up, man. Like, is he trying to get the ball out, you know, a little bit quicker than what he wanted? All right, we got some phone calls coming in. We'll get to those in a minute. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump on board the Northtown Automotive Extra Points Show. In the meantime, actually, Josh, while you're doing that, if you could play some NFL music, and we'll start to get to Josh. Josh is doing everything. He's taking your calls. He's on the line right now with somebody who wants to get on. He's playing some NFL music. I'll tell you what happened yesterday. Let's run through week number 9 in the National Football League. The Falcons beat the Dallas Cowboys 27-21. Cowboys now 3-5. What did Dak Prescott say? We suck. Yeah, they're not good. The Cowboys are terrible, to be quite honest with you. How did they beat the Steelers? Because the Steelers aren't actually all that good. But they beat them. And I only say that because I still can't believe, like, here's Pittsburgh on a bye week. All right, I don't even want to talk about Pittsburgh. I'm looking at the standings right now. That's what got me rolling on that. Let me go back to the game yesterday. Falcons 6-3. They're looking pretty good in the NFC South. In case you just tuned in and you missed it, I said it earlier. The Saints, after starting 2-0, have lost 7 straight and have fired their head coach, Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen has been fired by the New Orleans Saints. They lose to Carolina yesterday. They're both 2-7. All right. Elsewhere. I gave a chance. I was wrong. See? All of you tell me Sal Capaccio just thinks he's right all the time, man. I'm going to admit I'm wrong. I'm going to admit right here. Mark it down. I was wrong yesterday and all week. I gave the Broncos a fighting chance to beat the Ravens. They did not have a fighting chance based on the score. I haven't gone back and watched the game. 41-10, the Ravens beat the Broncos yesterday. Another fantastic game for Lamar Jackson. 280 and three touchdowns, no interceptions. And for Derrick Henry, 106 yards on the ground. Pair of TDs, averaged 4.6 yards a carry. Bo Nix, 19 of 33, 223, has an interception. That's not a great Ravens pass defense, but the Broncos couldn't take advantage of it, and the Ravens did a really nice job against what is really a good Broncos defense. Just told you about the Panthers beating the Saints. It was 23-22, the final score. Chuba Hubbard with a 16-yard run with less than 3 minutes left to win that game, essentially. Alvin Kamara for the Saints goes for a $155. Derek Carr throws for 236, but how about Bryce Young? Keeping it alive, at least. Didn't have a great game, but did enough. 171 and a touchdown for the Carolina Panthers quarterback. The Bengals, they didn't have a good start. The Raiders jumped on top of them a bit early. Raiders were up 7-0. It was 10-10 at one point, but then the Bengals took over. They scored, let's see, a touchdown. We went from 10-10 to 31-10. Three straight touchdowns. 21 straight points, but we always say unanswered. Well, those were unanswered. Then they answered. The Raiders did. And the Raiders did actually make it a, well, let's see, 38-17, 31-17 game in the fourth quarter. But then the Bengals took back over. And here's Joe Burrow. Five touchdown passes. Joe Burrow, 27 of 39. Five touchdown passes and an interception. And for the Raiders, they need a quarterback. Gardner Minshew, Desmond Ridder, they both throw. One throws for 17 passes, one throws 16 passes. I don't even know if there's an injury in this game. They just can't figure it out at quarterback. Raiders are 2-7. They're in that bottom group. The Bengals are 4-5. They have a chance to really, really keep their season alive here with a big game Thursday night at the Baltimore Ravens. Chargers. I mean, first half. You see the first half stats here? Over 200 yards passing in the first half for Justin Herbert, but then he only ended up with 282. So I don't know if they just slowed the game down and just started pounding the ball. They ran J.K. Dobbins 14 times for 85 yards. Herbert, 18 of 27 for 282 and a pair of touchdowns. For the Browns, Jameis Winston throws 46 times, completes 26 of them for 235, a touchdown, and three interceptions. That's Jameis. What he giveth, he taketh away, and vice versa. Last week, this great game. This week, he comes back with three interceptions. And the Browns fall to 2-7. How many 2-7 teams are there? Quite a bit, it looks like. And the Chargers move on to 5-3. Chargers now, only two games back of the Chiefs. They do play them one more time, right? Because they played them once, and they lost 17-10. They play in several weeks. Week after the Bills play the Chiefs. Oh, no, a couple weeks after the Bills play the Chiefs. It's a looks like a Sunday night game. December 8th, actually, is when the Chargers and Chiefs play. And that one game, of course, that's going to be in Arrowhead, right? Another night game in Arrowhead for the Chiefs, like tonight. We'll talk about that in a little while. Commanders, they beat the Giants. By the way, oh, something on the Browns I wanted to get to. So they're calling for Ken Dorsey's job in Cleveland. No surprise when you're 2-7. But they're calling for the media. Daryl Ryder, who I follow from The Fan in Cleveland, he tweeted something this morning about how, hey, the Raiders made all these. Raiders, by the way, fired their offensive coordinator and a few other assistants. He said the Browns should do the same and start with Ken Dorsey. That's what he wrote. So interesting that that's starting to happen now in Cleveland. Commanders 27-22. You wonder about Kevin Stefanski and his job status. Two-time coach of the year, though. Jaden Daniels continues to impress. 15 of 22, 209 yards, only but two touchdowns. Very efficient. The Giants get two passing touchdowns from Daniel Jones, 20-26. He had a nice game. But 27-22, the final score. Giants also 2-7. I got to look at how many 2-7 teams there are right now in the NFL. Let's go through this. Check this out. In the AFC alone, Browns, Jags, Raiders, Patriots. In the NFC, Panthers, Saints, Giants. Seven teams are 2-7 in the NFL right now. Vying for that number one overall draft pick, I guess. You're not dead at 2-7, but I mean, very, 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 very high. It'd be amazing for a team to come back to the playoffs from that. One of those 2-7 teams is the Patriots. Talked about them a little bit earlier. They get They score a touchdown in the last play of regulation, and they kick the extra point instead of going for two, which they should have done on the road at Tennessee. Just go for two. I mean, Ramadre Stevenson was averaging... Drake May averaged 11.9 yards. Drake May can run. No, they couldn't run the ball outside of him, though. Maybe that's why they didn't go for two. Stevenson, 10 carries, 16 yards. Not good. Against a good Titans defense. All right, but so what? So what? You're the Patriots. Go for two in that situation. They didn't do it. Drake May, 29 of 41, 206, a touchdown and two interceptions. Kid can run, though, man. He's got some athleticism. 8 carries, 95 yards. 11.9 yards a carry for the Titans. Of course, Tony Pollard, who I did not play in my fantasy league, but he didn't score, though. 128 yards. Nice day, though, for Tony Pollard. On the ground, Mason Rudolph throws a pair of touchdowns and 240 yards for the Tennessee Titans. All right, we'll get to the rest of the games in a minute. Let's get back out to the phone lines. Mike on a cell. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
2 weeks, the Bills play the Chiefs. I was just wondering if you know, does CBS have the rights to that game?
Yes.
Because
it will not be flexed.
It can't get flexed.
Let me say it this way. I think what happens is, I think as you get on, they can't protect the game when the schedule begins, but I think they get like one protection as it goes on. I would say this, that game's not going to get flexed. That's not going to Sunday night. And especially because the Bills are playing Sunday night the week before that, by the way, and the Chiefs are playing Sunday night the week after that. So they're not doing that.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Yeah, you got it. 425. It's a good call. Good question. I have to remember what Mike North said. I believe what he said was teams can't protect games when the schedule comes out, like early on, like we're protecting this, we're going to have that. But once the season starts, as you get towards flexing, they can like protect one of their games. But listen, the Sunday night schedule, the next few weeks, the Bills play Sunday night, December 1st. Let me get to this. I'm going to just have this right for you. Okay. We got to do this right. I want to make sure I get this right. The Chiefs play. Here's the Bills' schedule. The Bills play the Chiefs at 4:25 on November 17th. 2 weeks later, the Bills play Sunday night. Okay, after their bye. The Chiefs play Sunday night against the Bills. 4:25 against the Bills. And they also have, it's the Chargers a few weeks later. My apologies, Mike. I gave you the wrong information about the Sunday night schedule. My apologies on that. That being said, that game's not getting flexed. CBS is going to have that game. Let's go to Dave in West Palm Beach. So apologize for that, Mike, but you wouldn't have to worry about it. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Sal. How you doing? Love the show, buddy.
Thank you.
So, listen, I just got a little quick attaboy for the Bills fans yesterday. So I'm walking in there with two of my friends from Florida. Been up there before for games. And my brother. And we're walking along, and I see this kid walking, Mexican kid. And he's got all his Miami Dolphins garb on. It's all decked out. And I look over and say, hey, dude, this is what's going on? He says, yeah, I'm up here for the game. You know, I just want to feel the vibe. I go, where are you from? He says, Brownsville, Texas. I go, come on. He goes, Brownsville, Texas. What are you doing? He goes, I just heard so much about this. I just wanted to experience it. I go, well, dude, hang with us, right? So we stayed with this kid for 3 hours. We went to the Big Tree, went to the 97 Rock, the garage bar, everything. And everybody treated these guys with class. We were the garage bar. It made me feel so good because I have had a bad experience once in a night game when everybody was all drunked up from drinking all day. But I couldn't have been prouder yesterday because that's the way it's supposed to be. And everybody was just so kind to these guys. This kid, he was calling his mother, Ma, you wouldn't believe this place. These people are crazy, but they're great, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I want to say attaboy all the Bills fans yesterday. Thank you.
You know, Dave, everybody's got a bad story, but the great ones like this, I think, far and outweigh them. There's no doubt. And I have a similar experience with my friends who are still in town today. I'm going to get to that a little bit a while later, but I have a buddy that comes up every year. He's a big Dolphins fan, and he loves coming, and he says how great people treat him. So I appreciate you saying that.
Sweet.
Yeah, you got it.
You bet.
You got it, Dave. Thanks. I appreciate that. I'll get to that a little while. I'll tell you some good stuff about that. Let's go to Jeremy in Chicago. Hi, Jeremy. I'm good. Two calls from Chicago today, Jeremy. I love it. We're big out west. Midwest.
So,
big in the Midwest.
I've been listening all day. I wasn't going to call, but my son and I, he's 9 years old. We try to come in for almost every home game. And I had a scheduling conflict. Wasn't going to be able to come in on Saturday for the game. And I said to him, let's just skip this week. He said, no, it's Miami. We got to go. Mm-hmm. We came in. We got on a 6:30 flight on Sunday. Went through Washington. Got to the game. Came to the game, and he looked at me after the game. He said it was totally worth it. And it was just like the whole atmosphere after the game. I listened to all these people calling in and complaining about this and that. Yesterday was a day to remember. It was awesome. And that was really the reason I wanted to call. Yeah. You know, coming back late at night last night, my son was exhausted, had to go to school today. That was the deal. But, you know, I know you, you're a parent and stuff like that. Yeah. It was cool yesterday. It was just fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good time in the stadium, right? I mean, you get those games like the perfect game against New England where it's just a party all game and you know they're going to win. And then you get a game like yesterday where it's just back and forth, stressful as heck, and you could just let that stress out in the best of ways at the very end. You know what I mean, Jeremy?
Yeah, it was cool. People are hugging each other, high-fiving. Yeah. It was awesome. So yeah. I just wanted to call and say, go Bills. And
you got it, Jeremy.
Andy next week.
Yeah, you got it, man. Thanks for reaching out from out there in Chicago, the Windy City. Matthew in Grand Island. Hi, Matthew. What's up?
Hey, Sal. Just a quick question on possibly getting Curtis Samuel more involved more. Yeah. I was curious was on that and seeing what we can do to lean on him more, especially with Keon possibly being injured for a little bit.
It's a great question, Matthew. I thought about this morning. Like, boy, if you're going to lose Keon Coleman for any length of time, and we don't know that yet. We'll hear from Sean McDermott. We know he looks like he had some sort of hand or wrist injuries in the locker room with a brace on. But I don't know. I mean, you got to have a guy like Curtis Samuel stand up. He should have been by now more involved. I don't know the reason. I don't know exactly what's going on there. Was it the turf toe injury that set him back or he's dealing with? Is it not grasping the concepts of the offense? I find that hard to believe because Joe Brady and him worked together and so well in 2020. It's a great question. Right. It would be a great benefit for this team if Curtis Samuel could step up and be the guy that they thought he'd be coming into the season.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Matthew. I wish I could answer why. I really don't. Really don't know. All right. Great way to end this segment with Bob from Syracuse, because I just want to say Syracuse is going to a bowl game, Bob. I know you. I don't care if you're a fan or not. I don't even know if you are, but I know I am,
yeah.
And they're going to a bowl game, and I'm happy about it, Bob. Big win against Virginia Tech on Saturday.
Hell yeah, that was a great win. too bad for Tech that the quarterback got banged up.
Yeah.
Because he could have walked in to tie that game. So,
yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to talk about the possibility of maybe bringing Shaq Lawson back, since he knows he's available. He knows the system. It wouldn't be very difficult to get him up to speed if he's in shape, and he can do a lot of the our edge players can't do right now, which is set the edge, which is one of the things that's missing on the D-line. I just want to know your thoughts on that. So I'll hang up and listen, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it. That's a really good question, and it's a name I have not heard, but it's one that Perch should probably thought about, because we know the Bills like to bring in guys that understand their system, guys that are familiar and that they're familiar with. I haven't thought about Shaq. I haven't heard anything about that. The only thing I would tell you about Shaq Lawson, if they were to go down that road, he's been in this league now since, when did he come in the league? 2015? Right, or 16. So, I mean, his minimum salary is going to be a little bit higher than most guys. And they don't have a lot of money. But, you know, anybody you bring in might have to be a veteran anyway. Good name. Good thought. I haven't thought about that. And you're right. I mean, he is an end, but he's a good edge-setting defensive end. We'll see. I wonder, again, I go back to, is Calais Campbell available? That'd be a guy that really helped the Bills. But would the Dolphins really trade him in the division? Even knowing they're 2-7, you got to think, could they go on a run and see the Bills in the playoffs? You don't want to do that. They've already played them twice. Is there a division tax? That's a guy whose name could be on the market. But interesting, tomorrow, 4 p.m., is the trade deadline. We'll take a timeout. We'll get to that. Sit up. Stand down. Hey, buddy. And I'll wrap up what happened yesterday in the NFL after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday. Presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care. And by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Ty Johnson going to get the handoff here. Cutback lane is open. 35-30. And he's down to the 25-yard line. Jordan Poyer on the tackle. Eric, they went with 5 defensive linemen, and they beat it anyway. Fakes the handoff, fakes the throw, comes back. Wide open in the end zone is Mac Hollins for a 2-yard touchdown reception. The former Dolphin across the back of the end zone as the Bills give the Dolphins a taste of their own medicine with some misdirection.
Chris Brown on the call on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network right there. All right, let's get back to yesterday. What happened in the NFL? 4:05 for o'clock hour games, I should say. Arizona Cardinals, a 20-point win over the Chicago Bears. You know, Chicago, you'll be fine. Chicago's going to be fine. I don't know about the coach, to be quite honest with you, like what they're doing going forward and if it's going to work out there. But Caleb Williams will be fine in this game. Didn't have a great day. Didn't turn the ball over. 22 of 41, 217 yards, no touchdowns. He 22 of 41, no touchdowns, no interceptions, though. Didn't turn the ball over, like I said. He's got some good receivers. Roma Dunze did have 104 yards receiving in this one. But the Cardinals come back from down 7-6, and then, 14-6? Where's the score here? Let me see. Hold on. 7-6. See, 7-0, 7-3, 7-6 Arizona. Okay. They were really down, I guess. They took control of the game in the second half, though, 29-9. And maybe the story should be the Cardinals here. In this season, they're putting together 5-4. They're still alive. They're a decent team. They're not great. They can play some really nice football. We saw that here in Buffalo for a half. We saw it last week in Miami. This game, 29-9 over the Chicago Bears. The Arizona Cardinals, 5-4. I'll get to the standings in a little while as well. Jacksonville loses at Philadelphia, 28-23. And I'm seeing a lot of, oh my God, Nick Sirianni almost blew it around. And listening to some of the talking heads this morning, 22-0, Philadelphia had the lead. Jacksonville comes back and loses 28-23. They actually had the ball, apparently, late in the game with a chance to maybe go down and win the game. In this game, Jalen Hurts throws for 230 and a pair of touchdowns. Saquon Barkley has one of the runs of the year when he hurdles a guy backward, essentially. It was amazing. I saw it. The highlights today, 159 yards rushing, 5.9 yards a carry, a touchdown for Saquon Barkley. Great day for him. For the Jags, Trevor Lawrence, 2 picks, no touchdowns. Who do they got catching the ball for them? Ingram, Washington, Brian Thomas, 2 for 22. Jags fall to 2-7, one of those 2-7 teams we talked about. I mean, right now, how can you not love what the Detroit Lions are doing and putting together? They're 7-1. They absolutely just smacked the Green Bay Packers at their place yesterday, in the rain, by the way. Jared Goff, another very high efficient game, 18 of 22 for 145 and a touchdown. David Montgomery runs for 73 yards. They have just so many weapons, they do, the Lions. It's just, they're so tough. Even though they have no Aiden Hutchinson, we'll see if they trade for somebody here. Are they going to try for Za'Darius Smith? That's been some of the rumors coming out that maybe they'll try to make the play for the Browns defender. Packers. Josh Jacobs, 95 yards rushing. Jordan Love, 273 passing, but an interception, no touchdowns. Jaden Reed goes for a buck 13. Packers fall to 6-3. They're still okay. But that's a tough NFC North. NFC West is looking very interesting now that the Rams win in overtime against the Seattle Seahawks. DeMarcus Robinson with a 39-yard touchdown pass and catch from Matthew Stafford in overtime to win on a walk-off overtime touchdown, 26-20. This one went back and forth all day. Seattle, they fall to 4-5. Remember when the Seattle Seahawks were, 3-0? It's just a league, man. It's the way the league works. Seattle started the season 3-0, then they lost 3, then they won, and then they lost 2 more. They've lost 5 of their last 6, including to the Bills. The Rams are putting together a little nice run here, though. The Rams are now 4-4. They've won 3 in a row after starting the season 1-4. They get the Dolphins, the Patriots, the Eagles, the Saints, then the Bills. We'll see what happens here with the Rams. Puka Nacua ejected in this game. I did not see the reason for the ejection. I guess he made contact with an official or something. Is that what happened, Josh? Puka Nacua made contact with an official. Is that what happened?
No, it was he made contact with another player.
Oh, he punched someone.
It was a punch? It was a pretty weak punch, okay, in my opinion. All right. If you see the replay, the player pushes him a lot harder than he ever swung.
Okay.
It just so happened that it looked like he was going to try to throw a sucker punch at him, and it just didn't connect at all. So, I don't know. In my opinion, it was a little questionable. I don't know. The replay doesn't show a super aggressive punch, in my opinion.
26-20, Rams win that one. They jump the Seahawks in the West. Vikings, late last night, beat the Colts 21-13. This was not a very aesthetically pleasing game in the first half. But the Vikings kind of woke up offensively in the second half. They get things going right away. The Vikings moved to 6-2 after two losses. They dropped the Colts to 4-5, an interesting team we're going to talk about in a minute because that's the team the Bills play next week. The Vikings, Sam Darnold, 28 of 34 for 290 and three touchdowns. He also threw two interceptions. Justin Jefferson threw a pass that was completed for 22 yards. For the Colts, Joe Flacco, 16 of 27, 179 and an interception. Jonathan Taylor, 13 for 48, 3.7 yards a carry. Once again, a team I'll talk about here in a minute when we look ahead to our next game. Tonight, big game for the Buccaneers at 4-4 in the NFC South, but a tough, tough task at Kansas City, the only unbeaten team left in the league, and the Buccaneers have to do it very undermanned, right? No Godwin, obviously. I don't think Mike Evans is playing this game, right? They're banged up. A couple of the running backs, but I think Bucky Irving might be even questionable. They're going to have a monster performance from, you know, their defense here because they have not been good. The Buccaneers' defense has not been good lately. Here are the numbers they've been giving up. 31, 41, 27, 36 the last 4 weeks. And now they're facing a Kansas City team who isn't lighting the world on fire on offense, but they're finding their way a little bit. 26, 28, and 27 the last 3 weeks scoring points. Cannot expect the Buccaneers to beat the Chiefs. Hey, but it's the NFL. You never know what happens. That's tonight's Monday night football game, Buccaneers at Chiefs, 8:15 p.m. Eastern start. Taking a look at the standings, like I said, the Bills have such a stranglehold on the AFC East. 7-2 on the season. The next closest competition is 3-6. The Bills are essentially 4.5 games ahead of their next closest competitor with only, 7 weeks to play? 8 weeks to play. It's amazing. Jets 3-6, Dolphins 2-6, Patriots 2-7. And the Bills still get the Patriots twice. And the Jets once. NFC, AFC North tightening up after the Ravens win yesterday. They're now half game behind Pittsburgh, and they play soon, right? Next week. Oh, yeah, that's right. By the way, schedule now becomes the AFC North starts playing each other. These teams haven't even played each other much. They're starting to play each other this week with a Thursday night game between the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. That's going to be a very interesting Thursday night game for a lot of reasons. And, you know, Burrow against Lamar and where the Bengals are. Can they salvage their season? They can definitely do it if they win at Baltimore. Houston, with their loss to the Jets, still in control of the AFC South, and they should remain that way considering their competition. Indy's next close to them, 6-3 against 4-5. Kansas City in charge of the AFC West, but the Chargers are right there, two games back. They still have to play each other once. You just have to hope that Kansas City loses a game in that situation. How about the Washington Commanders still doing what they're doing in the NFC East? Half game over the Philadelphia Eagles, 7-2 against 6-2. When do they play again? Let's see. Have they played at all? Oh, they haven't played at all yet. 2 weeks they play, and then they play again in week number 16. All right. That's Commanders-Eagles. Elsewhere in the NFC, the North is very good. Chicago getting back to who we kind of thought they would be this year. They're a 500 team. Nice for them. I think they're going to be okay going forward, but they're in a tough division. Detroit 7-1, Minnesota 6-2, Green Bay 6-3, Chicago 4-4. They are the antithesis of the AFC East right now, basically, as a group. Outside of Buffalo, of course. NFC South, Atlanta taking charge. Tampa needs a win tonight. They're the only threat to them, and if they lose tonight, Atlanta can kind of start really thinking about, you know, wrapping this thing up. I mean, I shouldn't say it. It's two games, right? But, man, I can't see Tampa staying with them outside of maybe a win tonight, but they will play it. They played already twice, right? Have they played twice? Let's see. Bucks. Yeah, they played twice. You don't even have opportunity. That's Buccaneers-Falcons I'm talking about. And then finally, talked about the NFC West being very tight now. There's only one game separating the top and the bottom. Cardinals at 5-4, Rams 4-4, Niners 4-4, Seahawks 4-5. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll get to our Lake Hour look ahead to the next game. Can't wait to talk about that because it's a big one for the Bills at the Indianapolis Colts. And of course, sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy. Okay, it is time now for our Lake Hour look ahead to the next game. Brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. It is the perfect time of the year for these Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers, which I love. You will love too. Been telling you about them here now since the start of the season. We're getting into some weather that's what, the fall elite season? Think about it. On the lake, little hoodie, lake hour. What else would you want, right? Think about football. And of course, Rich Pete, big Bills fan. He's one of the brains behind it, along with Wyatt Russell, son of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. We've had them on here. Always telling you about Lake Hour. It's a great, great drink. I'm not a beer drinker, folks. I love my seltzers. I love my Lake Hour. You will too. Lake Hour look ahead to the next game. The next game is the Indianapolis Colts. Next week, the Bills take on the Colts. It is a 1 o'clock Eastern time start in Indianapolis. An Indianapolis team that's now deciding again who should be their starting quarterback. Should it be Joe Flacco? Should it be Anthony Richardson? I thought the move to Joe Flacco was really going to benefit this team, but he did not play a good game last night. 16 of 27, 179 yards, and an interception. Of course, he's not as mobile as Anthony Richardson. Not sure exactly what they're going to do other than they will feed Jonathan Taylor. They should. If they not, it's criminal on the Colts' part. Why not? The Bills are having trouble stopping the run right now. Jonathan Taylor, though, only 13 rushes in a close game yesterday. They are not feeding him the way they should. I think the Bills are going to see a heavy dose of Jonathan Taylor. Not sure what quarterback. Probably Joe Flacco. They said it was going forward. He would be the quarterback. But we'll see. Next week, the Buffalo Bills have a chance to go 8-2 on this season with a win at the Indianapolis Colts. That is your Lake Hour look ahead. Once again, brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. Go to lakehour.com. Lakehour.com. You'll see all the great flavors right there. All right. Let's start with, I'm going to start with stand down today. I got a couple different kind of setup stand down for you. This comes to me courtesy of my friend Rich Spetolari, Spits on Sports. Rich has been a friend of mine a long time, but back to our Florida days, he does sports talk up in the New England area, down in Florida as well. He's all over the place doing a great job. He wrote to me, I did not know this. He said, Sal, did you know that Tua's passing yards on like betting lines and apps and FanDuel and all that, 243.5 yesterday. He was at 254. Then they had the final play where they lateraled it. They went minus 24 and he finished under. My stand down is a bad beat. Stand down on that bad beat. Oh my gosh. I mean, you could have won it, of course. With every bad beat comes a big win, right? Tua's passing yardage total got flipped from winning to losing based on the final play. And then Jalen Waddle's total for the day goes to negative yardage because of it. It's unbelievable. But that's what happened on the final play when they had a minus 24. Thanks, Rich, for the stat. I didn't know that. I can't even verify. I trust you, Rich, that you are giving me that right. 254. He finished with, what, 231? So, yeah, it's crazy. He had that. All right. I told you something different today. Sit up. We're going to sit up on voting, folks. Tomorrow's your day. Go exercise your right. Exercise your right to vote. We have a privilege in this country to go and vote. But make it your responsibility tomorrow. I'm just telling you, never get political on the show. I'm not going to do it now. Just please go out and vote. Exercise your right tomorrow. It is election day. Should be a nice day as well. Let's get to Hey Buddy. Want me to just do it here? Let's do it. I don't need the open. Here you go. Here's my buddies. All right. My buddies are named Mike and Doug and Jimbo and Aaron. Aaron with an E, a female, because they are my friends in town from Florida. I just met Aaron, who's Jimbo's girlfriend, this weekend. They come up every year for the Dolphins-Bills game because Mike, my very good friend from Florida, is a huge Dolphins fan, loves coming to the stadium. And Jimbo's a Patriots fan, believe it or not. And Doug's a Bears fan, believe it or not. But they love it so much. And they're still in town. And when I leave this show, I'm going to pick them up at their hotel. They're getting out. They have to go catch their flight tonight. Taking them for beef on weck because she has never had beef on weck. Aaron, you're going to love your beef on weck. And I got a great story for you real quick. Jimbo is a big Patriots fan, but he's also a big Deion Dawkins fan, just like these guys. They met Deion last year. They all bought Deion Dawkins jerseys. She did as well. She wore one. And she said after the game, "Sal, I've gone to a lot of Patriots games. Grew up a Patriots fan. I think I'm a Bills fan now." Great job, Bills Mafia. Great job because you made that stadium so awesome yesterday that I had friends in town who flipped from the Patriots to the Bills. I don't know if she's really going to flip for the full time, but she's a Bills fan now. Thank you for treating my friends so great, Bills Mafia. Thank you for a great game yesterday to make today's show awesome as well. One Bills Live up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.